Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
A strong late push by the Blackhawks here tonight in Vegas, but a victory just not in the cards. As the Golden Knights pick up a 3-1 victory, they help themselves moving to third place in the Pacific Division. So the Hawks do still have one last chance to play a little bit of spoiler against the LA Kings, who are now trying to fight their way back into third place of the Pacific Division, but just one game left on the regular season after this 3-1 loss tonight to the Golden Knights. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 12:30 local time here on 720 WGN. We are here in Vegas a little bit earlier, but still the same type of time frame for just the second to last time this year. Our pal Troy Murray's here. He's on the call with John Weideman. And Troy, you got to give credit to the Hawks. You got to give credit to Vegas as well. They did what they needed to do. They played a very hard game, as you expected, especially with two important points on the line. But Hawks made this one interesting towards the end.
Vegas was the better team, no question about that. Give them kudos and what they did and how they play and how good they are, how big they are, how physical they can play. But like you say, I thought the Blackhawks competed hard in this game. Mrazek was great, kept them around, but they worked hard. They competed. They took hits. They delivered hits. They went through it. You know, just not enough. They haven't been able to find consistent pressure around the opposition's net, and that's been kind of a theme all season long. They've been outshot by quite a wide margin all year, so they haven't been able to find those second and third chances, and I think that they, you know, just haven't been able to get that net front presence a lot of times. And you know, Dickinson was able to go to the front of the net to score the lone goal in this game and kind of out battle a couple of defenders and the goaltender, Logan Thompson, but just not enough of that on a regular basis. And especially in this game, Vegas' defense is so big. They just boxed out a lot of the Blackhawks players attempting to get to the front of the net. They're a well-structured team. You know, they played the game hard. And, you know, that I think that's a good indication. And I'm sure that Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of Vegas, would say, you know, I like our game. I like where we're at. Because they've been playing better. They've won three in a row after losing three in a row. They were trying to find their rhythm, but this is the type of style that Vegas will be playing in the postseason, and it's a tough style to play against. You're just going to have to, you know, fight through it. And they showed last year why this team can win and how they can win, and the way they played tonight is exactly what they need to do in the postseason. Physical, finish checks, get to the front of the net, box out defensively, keep your structure, good goaltending, solid team.
And they made the playoffs so many times. I mean, this is they're used to this, just fine-tuning their game in the last couple of regular season games.
Yeah, it's kind of been incredible. The way the expansion draft is, they did an excellent job of selecting who they got. And, you know, Marchessault was there. They picked up Carlson, Theodore. I mean, players that were expendable, obviously, if other teams did it, but they built around that, and they haven't been afraid to make moves. Kelly McCrimmon, George McPhee before that, they don't hesitate to make big moves, and that's a statement that they did. They went out and they picked up Jack Eichel. Nobody thought Jack Eichel was going to leave Buffalo, and you know, then there were some issues that he had with his neck, and there was some animosity there. It's okay, let's go get him. Let's go get Mark Stone from the Ottawa Senators. They pick up Tomas Hertl from the San Jose Sharks. These are big players.
Noah Hanifin.
And Noah Hanifin this year. You know, two guys that, you know, that I think it added about $15 million to, you know, their payroll. And those players are not easy to come by, but you have to pay a big price to get those guys. We talked about them depleting all their draft picks moving forward here for the next several seasons, but they're all in trying to win it again this year. And you know, there's so many good teams, but I would not count Vegas out.
As for the Hawks game, I feel like more multiple reasons to be impressed by Frank Nazar's second game in the NHL.
Yeah, he made a couple mistakes in this game under pressure, but those are mistakes that he's trying to do too much, which is really good, rather than not doing enough. He's got the speed. You know, he's got to figure out the NHL game. These players, and this is, we talked about this before, this is a great test for him, or a good learning experience, how great teams and how big teams play the game. And, you know, he's not a big guy, so he's going to have to find a way to work around that physicality of some of the big players in the NHL. And he got a good taste of it tonight. But what I liked is he didn't back down at all. He didn't shy away from absorbing hits. White Cloud delivered a big hit, and it ended up being White Cloud who fell down along the board. So a lot of good things coming from Frank Nazar again.
We talked about it a lot. The last few games in the regular season for the Hawks have a lot of value, taking on teams that are looking at the playoffs, and that's going to come down to the last game of the year. The LA Kings need those 2 points. It's good that this young team can have that kind of stiff competition, even if they're not going to the playoffs.
Vegas still has one more game, right, against the Ducks.
Yes, yes.
So they determine their own fate.
But when is it? Yeah, I guess, when is it, though? It's in 2 nights, probably around the same time as the Hawks-Kings game.
Yeah.
So when that game starts, it'll...
Well, if Vegas wins the game, they get
right, but
third
if the
place.
Game starts at the same time, L.A. doesn't know that. I mean...
Well, yeah, we all know that it starts at the same time. They're well aware of that.
You made up the really good point the other day, as I shift gears here, because you're not...
I've lost where...
I know you
what
did.
What was our point here?
The Hawks are going to play the very first game in the NHL and the very last game.
Oh,
the
yeah,
NHL.
There you go. There you go.
Well, that was a point you brought up a couple days ago.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting.
It is.
The first game, the East Coast game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, first game or first set of games that started at that time, and then they'll be involved in the last set of games that start on the West Coast. So they started the season, ended the season, bookended with the...
Bookend the NHL calendar year, regular season.
Yeah.
They should... Did they ask you if that was a good idea?
For what?
I feel like that the fact that you did. How did you come up with that? How did you know?
I thought of that.
You just saw it.
That was I thought of that.
That was some sharp moves.
I don't come up with a lot of good ideas, but I don't.
Well, not on this post game show apparently, but no. This is our last time we get to talk.
Yeah, and we don't do these face to face because you're always heading downstairs.
I feel very out of sync right now. I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm not quite sure if we're making enough eye contact or too little.
Well, I'm giving you a terse look.
Yes, a monetary terse stare.
Minotaur.
If only John Weideman were here to break down the terse stare that we're giving each other. No, this was fun, though. I've never been to this arena. I've been to Vegas once. But
I'm glad it was for you.
You know what? No, I'm not coming on the road anymore. I'm not doing this. I refuse to get bullied. No,
but you know what? I do want to get out of here right away because I want to get to the tables because I'm going to make some money and I'm going to get you some socks.
Okay. All right. Well, you had enough time to squeeze that in. So we know you're not playing Pai Gow, though. We know you're not going to get any money at Pai Gow.
I had Pai Gow last night.
This is what
it was the only Abbott? It was the only thing open.
Abbott and Costello, they got nothing on us. All right, pal. Fun season. One more game left. Have a great time in LA. Final game of the regular season.
Great to see you.
Likewise.
You always do a great job, and we'll talk on Thursday when they take on the LA Kings, but appreciate all the hard work you've done all season long and everybody back at the station as well. We certainly appreciate everything that you guys do back there, what you do here to make us sound average.
Well, somewhat well said, but...
somewhat well said.
No, we all have a blast and we're excited for another 3 years, so let's...
Let's do it.
Let's get one more done and then start our next 3-year run. All right, pal. Safe travels. We'll talk to you.
You too.
All righty. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight as the Hawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights by a final score of 3-1. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. If you do so, give me a minute to acknowledge it. I got to load up the laptop here, kind of working on the fly for the first time, doing the post-game show on the road. But one game left on the regular season. The Hawks taking on the LA Kings. Again, it is an important 2 points for the Kings, but as Troy was mentioning, with Vegas winning this game, they are in control of their own destiny now. Third place in the Pacific Division, determining whether they'll face Dallas or the Edmonton Oilers. And again, the Hawks with one game left in a couple of nights. This game was a hard-fought one by the Blackhawks. They never had a lead. They got within a goal late in the third period on hard-working effort from Connor Bedard in behind the net, feeding Jason Dickinson. But this definitely didn't feel like a game that the Hawks were completely out of it at any point. I mean, it was a strong, somewhat even match first period, but Vegas definitely had more of an effort, or at least the stronger effort. And then after McNabb took the lead in the second period, there was still somewhat of a strong push by the Hawks, even though Vegas kind of held the momentum in that second period, outshooting them 10-5. And another big factor tonight, the Hawks having a really tough time for the faceoff circle, losing 70-30%. Let's see, the leader on the Hawks in tonight's game was Andreas Athanasiou, winning 60% of his faceoffs. Frank Nazar winning 3 out of 9. And a rough night for Jason Dickinson, though, centering that top line. He was 3 for 18 from the faceoff circle as, again, Vegas won that handily, 70% to 30%. William Karlsson winning 13 out of his 16 draws. Looks like we do have some sound, but want to make sure we get enough time to get that racked and ready to go for you. Why don't we go to our first break as we recap this Blackhawks 3-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Again, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to join us, you can call or you can text, and we'll hear from Ryan Donato, Seth Jones, and Luke Richardson at some point on the other side of this break. Blackhawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights 3-1. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Jones put it in over the Vegas line. He and Haig run together, but Jones put it behind the Vegas net. Bedard put it out in front, and a shot by Dickinson. They score! The Hawks get one back. Jason Dickinson went to the area about 5 feet out in front of the Vegas crease and took a pass from Bedard and got away a shot.
There's no goal signal as of yet.
It went into the back of the Vegas net. Thompson, it hit his equipment and rolled into the net. You're right, no red light so far.
Yeah, no goal signal. The referees are all huddling right around. You get another look at it, though. This is going to be a good goal.
It was going to be a good goal, and it was a good goal. Unfortunately, the only goal for the Hawks tonight. They fall to the Vegas Golden Knights 3-1. And yeah, I did make that mistake a few times today. I was calling them the Las Vegas Golden Knights a few times, but they are very adamant about only being the Vegas Golden Knights. Even their acronym, VGK, obviously doesn't have the L in it, and some of the Vegas broadcasters have even called them the VGK. They're going strict with that Vegas Golden Knights and dropping the loss. I don't know if it's too close to the word loss or what, but the Vegas Golden Knights, quite the brand here out in the desert and quite the performance they showed tonight against the Hawks. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 12:30 tonight, Chicago time, but we are here in Vegas and putting a bow on the regular season in a couple of nights in Los Angeles on Thursday. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. We'll give Jason Dickinson our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. Again, Dickinson with the only goal tonight. Did have a rough night from the faceoff circle, is Vegas winning that battle 70-30%. And as John and Troy had mentioned, with how strong and fast and deep of a team the Vegas Golden Knights are, when you win the faceoff battle 7 out of 10 times, you're setting yourself up for a lot more success rather than failure. And that was definitely a part where it made it difficult for the Hawks to gain some more momentum in this one, as they do fall to Vegas. For the first time here in Vegas this year, the Hawks were actually going for the sweep, because again, earlier this season was Philip Kurashev with the overtime game winner against the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's take a quick look at the text line from the 708 area code. Our buddy Devin from Palos Hills, perfect attendance on the postgame show, chimes in. I've been thoroughly impressed with Frank Nazar. I followed him all year long. Seemingly, he's been a whole new player since the World Juniors. Do you think he's a lock for the roster next season? I can't see him playing in Rockford unless we have a similar situation to Lucas Reichel. I think I pretty much agree with you, Devin. I kind of talked about this in the last game, too. I don't know if I want to call it a lock. I don't want to be that adamant with that thought, because I do think it is still a little bit too early. But with everything that he's shown us already, with how high of a ceiling it seems like the Hawks have on him. I do think that they want him with this roster at opening day, on opening night next season. I do agree with you. If he does go down to Rockford, I don't know if it's immediately going to be a Lucas Reichel situation if that's the reason why he goes down to Rockford. He's still a young kid. He's 20 years old. He might have some growing pains. There might be some ups and downs in his first year of the NHL, and that's fine because, once again, not every player, not every prospect is just going to be linear ascension going up and just turning into a stud player for this Hawks team. It's going to take some bumps in the road and speed bumps. And as Troy mentioned today, he had a good game, but he made some mistakes. And in fact, one of his mistakes led to a Vegas goal, and it ended up being the game winner. Michael Amadio blocking his shot, taking the puck away in the neutral zone, bursting over the Hawks line and getting one past Peter Mrazek. As Troy was mentioning, that shot has to get past that front defenseman. That's one of the things that just has to happen, and he'll learn that. He'll come to understand that that's one of the things that just has to be done. But just give it time, and it should happen. I do want to hear from Seth Jones, but first let's get to a station identification break here on 720 WGN. Seth Jones amassed 27 minutes, 37 seconds of time on ice today. And Troy had mentioned it almost looked like he was out there for, I don't know, the final 5 minutes of this one. He was just out there for so long towards the end. It was a heated ending to this one. But, man, a lot of time on ice, and the Blackhawks defenseman finished with 3 shots on goal, 2 attempts blocked. He had a couple of hits, 1 takeaway, 2 giveaways, and blocked 3 shots in tonight's 3-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's hear from the Blackhawks defenseman, Seth Jones.
I mean, we played a pretty solid game, to be honest. Had a lot of good ozone chances. First period was, I think the second period was probably our best period, I would say, when it just came to holding the puck down low and making things happen offensively and getting faster than that. A couple odd-man rushes went our way. Their goalie made some big saves. Donnie had a great chance. We had a couple other great chances right in front that didn't end up going. I thought defensively we were pretty solid as well. We didn't give them too many. Just give a couple two-on-ones in the first period. And then the short side goal on that turnover, the block shot. But they just capitalized on some of those chances, and we didn't.
5 straight losses. You run the risk of kind of, I don't know, forgetting that nice stretch you guys had. We were playing above 500 hockey for a while and going into the season on a down low.
I mean, we have to look at the totality of the season, right? It hasn't been great. Yeah, we've played some good stretches, but it hasn't been near as consistent as we wanted it to be. We try to take the good things that we were doing during those stretches. You know, we started scoring some goals, which obviously helps. And then, you know, tonight we only get one, so it's hard to win with just one goal. And I think a lot of problems are solved when you score 3 or 4. It could be a different game.
What do you think of Nazar's game tonight?
I thought it was good again. I think he understands his position as a centerman, especially in the defensive zone. We're breaking the puck out. He's always in the middle of the ice. He seems to be second man quick down low, very fast as a centerman, and that's something that us as defensemen always look for. If that guy's helping us break the puck out and make him play offense, and he's got a lot of speed. He took a couple big hits tonight. I think he didn't need to take on the rush, just holding it a little bit longer than he should have, especially against a big physical team like Vegas. But and then the block shot's just unfortunate. It happens to everyone. We always tell the forward it's not as easy as it looks up there. So that was a pretty good indicator there.
Is it particularly impressive considering he's had virtually no practice time with you guys? Really kind of
for sure. For sure. I think he's done a great job. I think you can tell his instincts are there. So he understands the game of hockey. He seems like a smart kid. Just talking to him away from the rink so far these first couple days. And I think he's got a lot of potential to be a great player for us.
Is it disappointing, you know, with some of the big saves that Mrazek had, especially during that EK, that couldn't come through for him?
It's been the story of the season. He's been great all year. You know, we've let him down in a lot of areas when we can't score. And he makes 35, 40 saves and lets up 2 goals. And, you know, there's not much more I can do.
Yep, Seth Jones is right. That has been the story of the year for Peter Mrazek and the Blackhawks. Solid performances by their goaltender. Unfortunately, not a lot of goal support, not a lot of wins to compliment it. Speaking of compliments, how about the high praise of Seth Jones on Frank Nazar's game, saying that the instincts are there, he's a very sharp kid. I think that's one of the most encouraging things about him adapting to the NHL so quickly is because of his hockey IQ. Of course, it's because of the talent and everything. But again, the Hawks wouldn't have done this if they didn't think he was ready. And it takes a lot to pull a guy straight from his college season, drop him into the final three games of an NHL season where you're playing a game every other day. You're playing tough opponents, Vegas and L.A., and you know, playing at home at the United Center in a big, important game against the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, it takes a lot, but he's totally accepted it. He's totally thriving on it. And again, he is just riding high right now after playing all this intense hockey in the Frozen Four and probably the most competitive hockey of his life, and rolling that into right now along with the adrenaline of making your NHL debut and finally achieving that dream and turning it into the beginning of your NHL career. But you got to give him credit for being able to accomplish that too. It's been pretty impressive. And again, I think there was more good things from him today, offensively, defensively, absorbing hits. I mean, he is just seeming to adapt so quickly. He did finish a -3 tonight. One shot on goal, 5 shot attempts. Again, 1-3 faceoffs. He doesn't seem totally overmatched. I know in that game against Carolina, he won his first 2 faceoffs. I think he lost like his next 6 after that. But still, he's not completely overmatched. It's not this huge deficit part of his game right now. So it's been pretty encouraging and pretty fun to watch. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Peter Puck in Peoria wants to know why I'm in Vegas since I'm 2-0 just pre and post. Once again, our great friends and sponsors at Circa Las Vegas hosting us here with the Hawks taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. If you forgot, you can now get live odds according to Circa Sports Illinois. Just download the Circa Sports app. But gracious hosts hooking us up with Cabana at Stadium Swim yesterday. Kevin Powell and I had a great time, had a nice little 2-hour sports talk show, and we talked Hawks, we talked Bears, we talked the Chicago Sky draft and acquiring Angel Reese, and just had a blast out here, as this is a pretty unique and just significant hockey experience now that the Vegas Golden Knights have developed and generated. And I do think a big reason of that is how successful they've been since joining the NHL, winning the Stanley Cup last year, going to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural year. But give credit to the Vegas Golden Knights for figuring out quickly what they need to do to be a powerhouse in the NHL, make the playoffs almost every year, and just turn that into complete consistency. It's pretty impressive stuff. But definitely enjoy my time out here. Thrilled and lucky to be out here. And one game left in L.A. in 2 days. I'll be back home at the WGN Radio Studios for that. And we'll put a bow on this regular season. Before we put a bow on this post-game show, again, we're taking you up to 12:30 tonight. We do want to hear from Ryan Donato after this 3-1 loss to Vegas.
I don't know. It's always difficult to say. I mean, you're getting the chances, right? And sometimes they go in and sometimes they don't. You know, I think we just got to, obviously there's only one game left, but not get discouraged and, you know that better days ahead. If we keep on creating like that, eventually we're going to start scoring. And, you know, I always say that when you score, they always come in bunches, and hopefully we can do that for the last game here and carry it into next season.
It seemed like there was some frustration from you and me from Seth when some of the chances didn't go in. Some frustration, was that the case, and what were they doing that just kind of hemmed things up for you guys?
Yeah, no, I think it's always tough when we generate chances and they just don't get converted, right? I'm guilty of one great chance, and you know, it's tough. It's something that, you know, obviously there's one game left, but it's something you'll be kind of losing sleep over the whole summer. You know, what if you could have put a couple more in and helped the team win? And you know, obviously that's something that you can't get too frustrated on. You got to move on, but you know, hopefully we can start scoring on the chances that we get, because we're creating a lot, and you know, you got to convert when you can.
What did you see from Nazar? Seemed like he was pretty involved again.
Yeah, you know, he's a great skater, so he's always up in the play and creating, and you know, it's a tough league, so I think that he's handled himself very well for these first 2 games, and no, his future looks bright for sure.
He seemed pretty aggressive, shook off that hit.
Who did?
Nazar.
I don't know what hit. Which
hit. Okay. Yeah.
Well, was it White Cloud maybe that hit him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's used to it. College hockey is a very physical game, too, so I'm sure he's gotten hit a couple times. Obviously, the guys here are a lot bigger and stronger, but, you know, it doesn't seem like that's going to deter him from trying to do his job.
You talked about carrying things into next year. What are your expectations for next year as a team? What this team might look like?
I think it's too early to tell, right? I mean, you obviously want to. Your goal is to make the playoffs, right? You know, obviously, there's a lot of things that we did this year that we can work on and hopefully create have a better chance to do so, right? I mean, you know, I think right now my focus is this last game of the year, and then I think you know, we can worry about that when that time comes.
But if you could have tweaked anything this season to maybe generate more or better defense or better PK or whatever, is there anything?
I mean, I'm sure there is, but I'm not. That's not my decision, right? I'm here to play, and I mean, I can't control what the situation is. I can only control myself and the way I carry myself and the work ethic I bring. And I mean, I can't really answer that question. Sorry.
It's definitely tempting to already look ahead to next year and see how this roster is going to look and see what the compete level hopefully will be like next year, even though you ask a lot of people among the Hawks organization and they would tell you a big reason why the compete level wasn't at where it was expected to be this year was because the handful, no, more than a handful of injuries that the Hawks have dealt with, and it started right from the get-go, losing Taylor Hall early on in this season, and then that wild just snowball of all these different Blackhawks players finding their way to the IR. Troy Murray brought up the point today that Jason Dickinson's the only guy who's played in every game this year for the Hawks, and looks like he'll be able to conclude that. Again, don't want to jinx him, knock on wood, but he's one game away from doing it on Thursday against the LA Kings. But I mean, let's face it, next year will be the third year of this rebuild, and there should be, hopefully, some big strides for this team. And I think the biggest factor of it all is the fact that all of these rookies, all of these young players, will now have a year under their belt. Connor Bedard, Kevin Korchinski, Alex Vlasic. Now, keep in mind, next year, you might the ability to send Kevin Korchinski down to Rockford will be there now. You know, we often bring that up, him being 19 years old, ineligible to go down to the AHL. Big reason why he's been here all year long at the NHL level. But again, still learning, still taking some very valuable strides forward. And actually, I do want to get to something that Luke Richardson had to say about Kevin Korchinski's progression this year. But this is probably going to look like a totally different roster next season. And that's because they have often needed to sign a handful of guys. I mean, remember when the Blackhawks were just pulling all these guys off of waivers and picking them from other organizations? Rem Pitlick, Zach Sanford. I mean, even Jacob Megna, who's found a pretty good home here, ironically, in his hometown area of Chicago. That was not expected for him to be on this roster at the beginning of the year. There was a whole bunch of maneuvering that Kyle Davidson was forced to do because of all the surplus of injuries that the Hawks were dealing with. But sometimes that's what happens. Now, next year, you're probably going to see a lot more guys with elevated roles in terms of the younger guys on this roster. Maybe some guys down in Rockford. Might we see Colton Dock start peaking up to the NHL level? Nolan Allen, will we see more Ethan Del Mastro? I'd imagine Isaac Phillips would probably be a good candidate to spend a lot more time here with the Hawks next year, along with Louis Crevier, the big defenseman. I want to go back to the text line, and again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can call or you could text. Our buddy Devin in Palos Hills helping us out once again, and just asking about the possibility of Colin Blackwell and Joey Anderson being on this team next season. We have talked about this before, and unfortunately, you know, I feel like with Nazar coming up, it's kind of answered that question. As much as we all love Colin Blackwell's work ethic and what he brings to the ice each and every day, and just the type of player that he is, it's hard to picture him on this roster if he's not able to find the playing time now. With more of these younger guys taking a step forward next year, might we not see Colin Blackwell? However, with the impressive season he's had this year, hopefully he's made a very good case for himself and shown that he belongs in the NHL on a consistent basis, and hopefully another team will find some value in that if he's not here in Chicago. Joey Anderson is a really interesting one. It really is. He's an RFA after this year, and it makes sense because of, again, the player he is, but he's also on the younger side. He's 25 years old. And I will use what happened to Jason Dickinson and Nick Foligno and Peter Mrazek as a possible example of what could happen to Joey Anderson. I'm not saying that type of contract details, length or value, but I mean, just the fact that this front office appreciates the good, hardworking effort, the right type of mentality they want to see from those types of players, and they have rewarded them. The fact is, Joey Anderson kind of was a late-season addition last year in the Toronto trade and just really found a knack for this roster and in this lineup. And he is a guy that just fits in so well. I think, wasn't it, he's got the best plus-minus on the team? That probably is still a correct fact. And then Devin from Palos Hills talking about how he and Blackwell are leading the team in Corsi and Fenwick percentages. But yeah, that because you know what? Those are the stats that don't often show up on the stat sheet, because those are the things that Joey Anderson and Colin Blackwell are doing right, even if they're not lighting up the score sheet. They're the guys that are doing a lot of the right things that help this team, that benefit this team. Moving forward, I do want to get back to that point on Kevin Korchinski that Luke Richardson said earlier today, but I also do want to hear from Luke Richardson after this loss. But first, we got to get to another break. Hawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights 3-1. Come join us, 312-981-7200. We're taking you up to 12:30 tonight, and we'll talk about Kevin Korchinski, and we'll hear from Luke Richardson after this break here on 720 WGN.
To Reichel into the Vegas zone. Had it knocked off his stick. Jones came along, got the puck to Reichel to the slot. Here's a shot by Donato, and it's in and out of the glove of Thompson with a sensational save.
Yeah, Peter Mrazek probably deserved to get the save of the game tonight, as he collected a total of 33 saves against the Vegas Golden Knights, but a 3-1 Vegas winner over the Blackhawks, and that save by Logan Thompson, the one you just heard by John Weideman, kept Vegas ahead 1-0, and then just a few short moments later, Michael Amadio blocking a Frank Nazar shot, stealing the puck in the neutral zone, taking it over the Hawk line, and giving the Vegas Golden Knights a 2-0 lead. Was definitely a turning moment in this game. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 12:30 tonight here on 720 WGN Radio. Our save of the game, by the way, is sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. Luke Richardson had a few things to say about Kevin Korchinski before tonight's game, after morning skate. I asked him about just his kind of overall assessment now that his first year in the NHL is pretty much done with. Before we get to that, here's what he had to say after this 3-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights.
I thought we battled hard all the way through the game. You know, we had a couple really good chances, and Thompson made some good saves. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't have another opportunity on the power play. I didn't think we were real sharp on our power play, but our penalty killing was back to what we like it, a little more aggressive, and got it done. So, you know, obviously that goal by Dickinson gave us a chance at the end. Unfortunately, you know, they were good. They got the puck and they put it away.
It seemed like there was a lot of possession time. It was just Vegas had good sticks in the D zone.
Yeah, they're big and they're heavy. I thought the first period we had really good chances on our forecheck, and then second period we weren't as good getting through the neutral zone, so not as much time, but the third period much more. I liked our push in the third and made some good ozone time, but you know, that's when Thompson made his best saves.
Bedard had the setup obviously on the Dickinson goal. It seems like he's generating just a little less lately. Do you get the sense that he's a little out of gas? This is the longest season of his life.
No, I think it might be just, he might be feeling just like everybody, a little depleted. Our record's not been great. You know, you get to this time of the year, you know, he's probably disappointed that we're not in the hunt for a playoff spot, which we all are. But that's just, you know, young players probably going through different feelings. But they have lots of the older guys to rely on that have gone through it a lot. And, you know, I mean, I still think he's obviously being creative. And, you know, I'm assuming he's looking forward to the World Championships and wanted to fine-tune his game before that, too.
Nazar looked particularly aggressive. What do you think of him?
Yeah, no, he was good. Unfortunately, you know, he was on the ice with the goals against, but, you know, he got snake bit a little bit on the second one. But, you know, I think you know, the third one, he's just out there doing his job, and he's down low, so he really couldn't do anything to help the empty netter. But he created some stuff in the first period. Second period, he got hit pretty good, but he bounced right back up. He's not afraid, obviously, to compete and get involved.
It's kind of funny. We haven't heard directly from Connor Bedard yet about him playing in the World Championships, and understandably so, but it is funny that we've heard it from Kevin Korchinski and now Luke Richardson, but not yet from Bedard. Earlier tonight, or I should say earlier today, after morning skate, I asked Luke Richardson about the assessment of Kevin Korchinski's first year in the NHL, because he is the youngest defenseman in the NHL this year. And I basically asked Luke, do you have to kind of remind yourself about that when you're teaching him, when you're working with him, when you're giving him pointers or breaking down his game? And he said yes in a very long and more detailed way, but basically because, you know, you can pull away from some, I don't want to say guidance, but the tips that you're giving him, the overall message that you're trying to send, because you understand it is just going to take a little bit longer for him to develop, and he's got to get bigger, he's got to get stronger, and it's hard to kind of assess or criticize his game in some of those moments when he's just not physically capable of holding off the other team's strongest players just because he's a 19-year-old out there. And he said, you know, because of Korchinski's age and size, and even just like the state that his brain is growing right now as a 19-year-old, there are just some things that maybe you hold off telling him so many times just because of, again, the youth of the player that he is. So it is a long-term project, kind of, for Kevin Korchinski, but I think one that will be very valuable for this Hawks team. And once that size catches up and once that age gets a little bit more experienced, you're talking about a very lethal offensive defenseman on this Blackhawks roster. Let's get to one more break, and then we'll come back and take a look around the NHL. Busy day and a very significant day in terms of the way the playoffs are looking. Hawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights here in Sin City, a final score of 3-1. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Henderson couldn't get the puck cleanly, and now Lizotte again ahead for Fiala into the zone to Lizotte with a shot. He scores! Blake Lizotte from 30 feet, low right corner, glove hand side on Gustafson. The Kings are on the board with the Lizotte goal. Minnesota's lead with 5:24 left to play is 3-1.
That is Nick Nixon of Valley Sports West. And that is the voice of the LA Kings. The Hawks will be in LA on Thursday, wrapping up the regular season of the 2023-2024 season. And that was our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. Hawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights 3-1 in their second-to-last game on the year. But eight games total in the NHL tonight, and a lot of significant ones. Let's get to it. And we'll take a look around the league, starting in Boston.
Poked back into the Ottawa zone. Here's Branstrom, makes his way down to the Bruin line and in, gets in. Sends it across, and a quick shot. Save is not, that went in. That squeaked through. First save was made, and Smekal gets his first NHL goal.
There you go, Dean Brown. There you go. Yuri Smekal says, I'd like the puck, please.
Well, thank you, person who is signifying that it was Dean Brown. Dean Brown of TSN 1200 AM. That's a big loss for the Boston Bruins. 3-1 to the Ottawa Senators. Boston gets leapt over by the Florida Panthers. We'll get to that game later on. But Boston had a chance to clinch the Atlantic Division with a win at home against Ottawa, and they couldn't get it done. So they're now going to have to face Toronto. And one of our texters actually chiming in, mentioning that the Bruins did beat Toronto four times this year. But still, what a, not a devastating way, but probably just a very frustrating way to end the regular season. Another point of note, the television voice of the Boston Bruins for 19 years, Jack Edwards, announcing his retirement after this game. So best of luck to him on his retirement. Let's go to Columbus.
Johnny Gaudreau is the fourth man coming in. That's Werenski, and he passed it into the right wing circle to Danforth, who didn't get a shot away. Back out to the right point. Werenski, he shoots it this time. Save made. Johnny Gaudreau with the rebound, and a wraparound off the backhand and in. one. Johnny Gaudreau puts the Blue Jackets back on top. It is 4-3.
Bob McGilligan of WBNS 97.1, the ticket voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, who pick up a 6-3 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina playing in their final game before their opening round of the playoffs against the New York Islanders. Also in that game, the television voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jeff Rimmer, ending his television career, 49 seasons in the NHL, and he retires as the television voice of Columbus. Don't have time for the other out-of-town, so just quickly go through the scores. Detroit wins on a Patrick Kane shootout goal, but the Red Wings get eliminated from the postseason because Washington beat Philly tonight. Pittsburgh Penguins get eliminated, so do the Philadelphia Flyers. The teams are set, but just the settings, rather the rankings and the seedings for the NHL playoffs still yet to be determined. And a big reason of that, the Vegas Golden Knights, for the 2 points they earned tonight against the Blackhawks. Again, a 3-1 final score here from T-Mobile Arena. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Plumbers 911 Chicago, when they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help back at the WGN Radio Studios, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Colin McCarthy, led by our engineers, the tireless Krista Flores and Brett Jackson. Here at the T-Mobile Arena, Ray Ragle was our engineer, John Wyndham and Troy Murray had the call. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand, signing off. Again, the final score, Vegas 3, the Hawks 1. James Sears has your news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. Have a great rest of your morning, everyone. We'll talk to you on Thursday from L.A.